That warm, sunny weather that we all love and look forward to is right around the corner. So get outside instead of prepping and cooking indoors. I don't know about you all, but when the weather is nice, I just want to be doing more and prepping and worrying about my meals less, which is why I absolutely love Factor. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat and are perfect for any active lifestyle. They have 45 weekly menu options so you can pick your gourmet meals that fit your goals. They have options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. Factor powers your day with satisfying breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, and guilt-free snacks and desserts. So it's easy to savor more this spring because Factor meals pack the flavor with none of the fuss. My mom and I have absolutely been loving having Factor in our lives. The meals are delicious and so easy to heat up and eat in no time at all. Especially since I'm not really that great in the kitchen, I love not having to worry about grocery shopping, about what to eat, about what's healthy. Factor has done it all for me. So get started at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off and use code barbknowsbest50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code BARBKNOWSBEST50OFF at factormeals.com/BARBKNOWSBEST50OFF for 50% off plus free shipping. Hi friends, welcome to a new chapter. After 3 years as Barb Knows Best, my mom and I are evolving the show to Life Happens. In this first episode, we talk about what this shift means and share some of the biggest lessons we've learned through divorce, loss, and even figuring out how to live under the same roof again. Life can be messy, but that's where the growth happens. I really loved this conversation because it made me realize just how much we've both changed and how our relationship keeps evolving in the best ways. I think you'll love this episode if you've ever gone through a big life change or had to navigate a relationship in a new way. It's real, it's honest, and we're so excited to have you on this journey with us. Hi, Mom. I'm so excited to be with you today, having this conversation in this next iteration of our journey together, of our work together, of all the things.
I know. This is your dream come true, right? It's so amazing.
Well, is it your dream come true as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you have been really the manifester of this whole podcast, of all the things that we do, podcast and a lot of the work that we do. And it's been such a joy. And I love this new iteration and progression, really, when you think about the growth and all of the things that we've been through. Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah. So we have been on quite a journey, the two of us. I mean, obviously, you're my mom, so you've been on my whole journey.
I sure have.
And I've been on a significant part of your journey. And outside of being mother-daughter, we're also coworkers. At one point, you were also my boss, which is interesting. I think when I started in Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life, I considered you my boss. I was given clear instructions when I started working for you that I needed to call you Barb and not Mom because it had to be a professional boss-like situation. So we've had lots of titles for each other, but now we're, you know, colleague to colleague, talking to each other about all of life's ups and downs and twists and turns. And I think it's really cool to be at this place together in this iteration at this time.
I do too. And you forgot one thing though.
What did I forget?
We're also still roommates.
Ooh, yeah.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you think about full circle, me being your mom.
Yep.
And you being an infant and a toddler and high school and teens and all of that. It's really interesting that we look at our lives now and we've been living together for the past year.
It actually, it's been exactly a year, which none of us could have predicted that.
And I think, too, what I love the most about what is happening now is that our whole work is about our experiences and how we share our experiences with the world. Mm-hmm. We never talk about anything that we haven't already been through and give our, you know, our thoughts and our feedback and our tools and our tips and all the things that we do. And I think about the idea that you're my daughter living with me for so many years when you were younger. And now here we are much later in life and we're living together again for this little brief moment in time. And I think it really has brought about so many challenges and so many rewards. And I love that we can talk about that because it's such a, I remember thinking it was such a gift that we could be living together again at this iteration of our life, but it certainly has brought up its challenges too that I don't think that I anticipated until they actually happened.
No, you're so true. We didn't expect to be living together for a year and some change. We thought it was going to be a couple of weeks, so it was going to be a fun little, you know, slumber party kind of thing. But 12 months of being under the same roof and kind of re-experiencing some of those dynamics that we had when I was a teenager or when I was a kid living with you, and just little things like you're very specific with how you do laundry and how you do dishes. And so like getting into those little nitpicky things, I'm like, well, I do laundry this way. It feels like a second act of those growing up years. So it's been really fun to experience that. And also, it's also been another opportunity for healing to like go over,
yes,
you know, some of our issues that we've been through as a mother daughter in our family, you know, going through divorces, breakups, moves, trauma, all of that. We've talked about it and healed from it, but I think being together again, stuff comes up again. And so it's been a really interesting way to also heal another layer.
That is so beautifully said, because I think the thing that's really struck me the most when I think about this year, especially the second half of the year, when I think about all the things that we've been through just in this year, which has been a lot. I remember thinking when 2024 was over, like, oh, thank you.
You kept saying that was the worst year of your life.
I know. And I got divorced in 2023. I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it just felt so hard. But what I've really been contemplating and thinking about, because people ask us all the time, what's it like working with your daughter? What's it like being a mom and daughter duo? And one of the things that I've really thought about recently, and I don't even know if I've shared this with you.
Can't wait.
So this is fresh off the press.
Love it.
Is that...
You heard it here first.
Well, because you're my daughter, but I don't... You're an adult.
Right.
Like, I don't tell you what to do anymore. I'm not the boss of you.
Well,
remember when you were four and you said to me...
You do tell me how to do laundry.
Well, you know, yes, we have those little things. But when I'm thinking the grand picture of things of life, I'm thinking it's really a big shift in me that I'm not so much your teacher, and I'm not teaching you lessons and teaching you how to live life. And, you know, as a young little 4-year-old or 12-year-old, or even when you went off to college, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, you know, my job's not really done. You're going to need me, and I'm going to still help you through the learning process as a, you know, as a college student. But now you're an adult. And so I've thought about my role as not only the way we work together, but my role as a mother has shifted from being the person that teaches you and guides you and tells you, oh, don't do that, don't do this. Oh, this is, it's more of a supporter.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of myself as being like your biggest cheerleader.
Well, how does it
your
feel
greatest supporter.
To have that awareness that the roles have shifted? Do you notice it? How does it feel internally?
Hard.
But I mean, as a mom, I mean, I'm not a parent. So I'm curious how it would feel to be in that role of nurturer, protector, teacher, to then have the shift to being the parent of an adult child. There's got to be a lot of internal feelings about that.
Oh my gosh, a ton. And I think, just to, you know, digress just for a moment, I think it's why we talk on our episodes and in our work all the time that awareness is key. So my meditation practice, my mindfulness practice for over 40 years has really served me so well. Always, you know, I talk about it a lot, but in this phase of life really has served me so incredibly well, because I've had to take a pause and think, wait a minute. Because I remember we got into a huge fight recently. And when I say recently, I mean like the past 6 months. We've had our issues, but we got into a huge thing because you were going to post something on social media, or you were going to say something or do something.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't do that. And I truly embodied every moment of you can't do that. It was like the real mother in me came out.
I know.
And
what
you're the
child about.
And you can't do that. And I remember you were like, you can't tell me what to do. What do you mean I can't do that? So if I didn't have this ability to take a pause, and we did get into a fight, but just because I can take a pause or you can take a pause and we talk about the tips and the tools, it doesn't mean we're not human beings. So I got into this whole feeling of, oh my gosh, she can't do this. This is going to be bad. It was like you were a little girl again.
Yeah.
I have to stop her from doing this. I have to do something about this. And so I went through that whole drama inside of me. And I remember, I think it took me a day, or maybe it even extended a little bit. We had some long conversations about it. And I came out the other side where I am today. Like, I'm here to give my opinions, mm-hmm. or give my thoughts or give my beliefs, We never give that up. We have to be exactly who we are in any relationship, but especially in a mother-child or mother-daughter or any kind of really close relationship. We never give up the ability to be exactly who we are and be authentic, but not at the expense of you have to do this or else kind of a thing, or have our attachment to the end result be so strong that it starts to interfere with our relationship. And then when it does, which it did in that moment, you know, having the ability to take a pause or take a break, so to speak, which we did maybe for a day or two, and then talk about it later. Wait, as you just asked me, this is what I was feeling. I was scared for you. I thought, oh no, you're sabotaging yourself. You know, I had all those feelings of protection.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not really here to protect you. I'm here to give you my, you know, opinions or my views or my values or be exactly who I am and then let you be exactly who you are.
Yeah.
So I think what got you so upset in that moment was, you can't do this, and me trying to be the protector, thinking that I had the power. You know, there's that famous quote that we use a lot that I love, it changed my life. No one has the power to name who you are.
Right.
And in that moment, I think you even said that to me a day or two later. You're trying to tell me who I am, and you don't have that power.
That was a particularly poignant fight because it felt, one, like we were regressing into younger Michelle, younger Barb, where, you know, maybe I'm doing something at school and you're telling me, hey, you can't do that. And I'm like, wait, I'm actually an adult. I don't need you to do that. And
Can I say something?
Sure.
What you said to me is, I'm a grown-ass adult. Yes. And I remember
thinking, that sounds accurate.
Whoa, it does. And I thought, okay. And that really struck me.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
But I think, you know, living together presented that. We hadn't really had a situation like that where older patterns were presenting themselves in our current reality. And I think that's exactly why, you know, I had the idea to start a podcast with you over 3 years ago, and now why we're in this new chapter of the podcast, because not because we're different or we've experienced anything different than anyone else, but we've been through so much together. We've had high highs and low lows, and I credit this to you. You've always had that foundation of healing and being present to the difficulties to work through them and not bypass them. And it's like, okay, maybe other people haven't had that or don't have that. So let's share what we've been through and how we've gotten through it and what got us to this place. And, you know, if there's a tool or a tip that really helped us, like, let's share that too. And, you know, also to be transparent and truthful that, yes, we might be rare or not normal that we are so close as a mother and adult daughter. Again, living together, but also working together and getting along. But the transparent part is we fight. We have tons of disagreements. Like, we've mastered boundaries because it's been necessary to make this work. And we're not trying to portray some sort of perfect image of this relationship. And I'm excited about the conversations that we're going to have in this new iteration of the show, because I like the messiness and the nitty-grittiness of it more than, you know, the perfection or like, oh, you guys are just, how do you do it? You're just getting along so well all the time. No, like, let's look under the hood, because that's where like the good stuff is.
Well, I think too, that's how life is. And I know that my purpose in life is to share whatever I've learned and whatever has helped me to help others. I mean, that's just, I know that that's what I came here to do, and I'm doing what I came here to do. How can I share and how can I be of service and help while also sharing and being of service to myself as well? So no, and I love that we are being the most authentic that we can be, but we're also trying to use what we've learned and what our experiences are. And I just wanted to add one more thing to this last big fight, you call it a fight. It's kind of generational
too. Heated disagreement.
I think that that's something that we can really talk more about as we proceed into these episodes. It's like so generational. If all of you listening, that it's generational. or watching or whatever. Yes, exactly. Or watching. Like, it is generational, and we have to be able to be open and receptive to, I have to be open and receptive to you.
Yeah.
And know that the deepest part of me loves you no matter what. So I can't go into anything thinking that I need to change you. And I think that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And
that instance, you were trying to change my
behavior.
And
I think in any relationship, it's really hard to accept that we don't have that power. So it's really hard to accept that we have to change ourselves. Like, we're not here to change someone else. We're here to show what we've done. So I always like to say I'm here to show, but I'm not here to tell. And so I think in our podcast episodes, especially now that we're visual, we're here to just show.
You can show.
You can
even
actually feel. Yeah, you can feel the energy. But I just wanted to say, do you remember what broke the ice of that whole fight? We were in the car. We were coming back from getting coffee together. And we opened the garage door because we're living together.
Oh, yes.
And this is small quarters, too. I just want to say that. It's not like we're living in a great big, huge place. It's
also
a small quarters.
There, you know, it's the two of us, but someone else. We have
little
geriatric cat.
Geriatric cat.
Who takes up quite a bit of space.
Yes, and time and attention. So we open the garage door, and as we're pulling in, I look at the house garage door as you enter the house. I go, oh my gosh, Michelle, look at what's on the floor in front of the door. We couldn't open the door if we wanted to, but we're still in the car.
Yeah.
We live in Florida, and we live a block from the beach, and it was a huge crab.
Yeah.
Huge.
We didn't really know exactly what it was at first. I got scared that it was some sort of massive, insect, which would have really...
Oh, I didn't think
we have huge cockroaches and stuff.
Yeah, true. Anyways, huge. So I think, did I get out first? One of us got out first and looked, and I got close to it, and I said, oh my gosh, Michelle, you're not going to believe this. I have goosebumps right now. It's a crab. So
literal
I didn't...
crab.
Yeah, and we couldn't open the door. I didn't want to hurt it. I didn't want to open the door and all the things. So I only know about crabs being in the water. So long story short, we called a friend of ours, and he came right over. He got a little broom, and it was alive. And I said, let's put it in this bucket, and Michelle and I are going to walk it to the beach. So we walked this crab to the beach, and I put the bucket on its side, and it didn't really want to run out, which I thought was shocking. So I had to kind of dump it out, and it would run back in, and it would just did not know what to do with itself. And I picked it up, and I took it to the water, and it flew back into our container. And so one of the fathers of one of the children there said, I think that's a land crab. It does not like the water. So we ended up driving it down the street, which was a couple of miles away, to Gumbo Limbo, which has crabs and all kinds of things there. And we took it there, and they said, yes, this is a land crab. Long story short, though, just the interaction of all of that and the playfulness of all of that. And when you can kind of be aware, I think, and be present to things in your life that are showing you, wait a minute, you guys can do this together to save this life. It just, I don't know. And we laughed and we looked at each other and said, what are we fighting about anyway?
Yeah.
It was such a breakdown of the barrier of I'm wrong and you're right, which is what happens in relationships sometimes. I'm here to protect you and you're wrong, or you can't tell me what to do. I'm an adult. So it really broke everything, and we laughed and found the way back to, wait a minute, what do we need to do here? What are some of the conversations we need to have that are going to bring us back to a neutral place? Because the bottom line is we love each other, and we actually love working with each other.
Yeah, that was a good example of kind of life presenting interesting circumstances to help break down tense moments and just bring some levity and laughter to the situation, which I find that if we are in a difficult time or a difficult circumstance, it's true what they say, laughter is the best medicine. There's so many times where something funny or silly like that will happen, and I'll laugh or you'll laugh, and we're just like, okay, we can be done with this now. But the crab, that one took the cake, because where did he come from? How did he get there? So it's just it's funny to pay attention to what life is presenting you in the moment. And in the moment, it was okay, you guys have to put this aside to protect this little crab.
Yeah.
And hopefully he's living his best life with his other crab friends back at the nature sanctuary. But I loved it. And it was cancer season, so.
It was, that's right.
It was crabs all around.
It was very symbolic.
Yeah.
Feeling healthy, energized, and good about ourselves from the inside out are things that we all desire, but don't always know how to put it into practice. I know firsthand on my own health journey, I've often felt frustrated, confused, and overwhelmed about what to trust, what to believe, and what to do to optimize my health.
I've often felt like I've been doing everything right, eating well, exercising, and yet still not experiencing the life that I'm looking for. My energy's been low. I've had mood swings. I've had brain fog. And I've been wondering, where am I going wrong? Which is where Happy Mammoth comes in. I know firsthand how much stress can mess with your hormones and how much hormones can impact our daily health. Happy Mammoth offers a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. You just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz and I absolutely loved learning more about the insights, about the information, about where I'm at now in my life and what I could be doing to help optimize my health and balance my hormones. Happy Mammoth is a company that created Hormone Harmony and is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Happy Mammoth offers a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. And with personalized recommendations from the quiz, you'll know exactly where to start. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today and find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you'll also get 15% off your entire first order with our code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today.
I think it's helpful. It's been helpful for us to have those kinds of changes in energy or changes in scenery or changes in the dynamic to break, like you said, the barrier. And being open to it and not feeling like you have to hold on to the grudge or the tension, just like you said, for the sake of being right. We're both Scorpios.
We are.
We've talked about this. You, for whatever reason, decided to marry two other Scorpios. So I've been in an all Scorpio household for my entire life. The point was, we've always had this joke that we're very stubborn. Yes. Like, we don't like to give in. And I would say, actually, one of the things that you say to me often in fights or in disagreements, to reframe that word, towards the end of it is, how come you're never the first one to give in or to come to me and say you want to mend the fence or to end the fight? It's always me. I'm always the you're saying this to me. I'm always the first one. And I'm like, well, because you're always wrong. Sometimes the universe or life will present something where you don't even have to be the first person to say you want to mend it, because a crab will come and save the day.
I love that. I also think, too, for me, the analogy of we as parents, and me particular as a mother and your mother, all along the way, we have these little milestones that tell us, like when you went to college, I no longer had control. I mean, not that we ever have control anyway. I mean, there is that thing. We have no control over anything on the outside world. We only have control over how we're going to respond. But that idea that we think that we have control. So when you went away to college, so there are little, you know, benchmarks along the way in life where we actually have that wake up call, where we actually are, you know, knowing that, wow, my daughter has evolved now to a place where she's going off to a whole new city, a whole new state, a whole new environment to actually live her life. You know, so I had that experience. So I think if we as humans can actually kind of bring ourselves back to the time when, oh, I did that already. And I think that's been helpful for me. Oh, I had to do that when you went to school. Because you're an only child, and you're my, you know, the greatest love of everything in my life. I mean, you're my daughter.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I've done this before. So we can kind of have the courage, is what I'm trying to say. I could have the courage to say, okay, what do we need to do here? What needs to happen for us to be able to resolve this situation? And I think it's that freedom that comes. And this is why I wanted to go down this path. My whole life also has been about freedom. I want freedom.
That has been a overarching theme, especially lately. You talk about freedom, I think, in your own iteration of that word every day.
Every day. Because it's not...
If you guys are in our living rooms listening to us have like actual conversations that we have day in and day out, freedom is something that you bring up on a daily basis.
Yes.
But in the way that it resonates for you.
Yeah. Well, and not freedom... You know, we live in the United States of America, so, you know, we're free. You know, we're free to go off and get in our car and go somewhere if we want. I'm free to have my own life. you know, to buy my own clothes, to eat the food that I want. I'm free. You know, we have those kinds of freedoms that many people in the world don't have. So when I talk about freedom, it's really inner freedom. I don't want to be at the mercy of my thoughts and my obsessions about that I need for you to listen to me because I am right, or this is in your best interest, or even that word that I used earlier here, because I used it a lot in my own brain. You're sabotaging yourself, Michelle. So those drastic words sometimes that we use when we really want our way. So when I think about freedom, that whole idea of the crab changing that, and the whole feeling of, even when my dog was sick in 2022, my 15-year-old dog was sick, and long story short, she had to have spinal surgery, so literally she couldn't sleep in a bed, which is what she did for all of her 15 years. I had to sleep on the floor with her. So even then, that riled you up, and I'm trying to think of myself as, you know, I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm doing what I feel is in the best interest of myself, and I'm good. But you were having difficulties with that. So that's the kind of freedom I'm talking about. How do we free ourselves? And this is the life experience.
From the trying to control.
How do you free yourself from the internal voice or the internal urge that this can't be this way? I have to change what's happening out there, or I have to change the outer world. And so the only thing that we do have control over, or the only thing that we ever can change, is ourselves and our reaction to it. And that doesn't mean that I can't choose during that fight that we had, I can't choose to move out.
You almost did.
Well, I'm just saying it doesn't mean that. So it's very nuanced, I think, in the work that I do with myself and trying to help other people see it. Like, you really always have a choice, but the choice can't be that the only way that I can survive or the only way that I can live is the other person has to change.
Yeah.
That is not a choice. That is not an option.
Well, and I will say, with the Ellie, your dog piece, when you were going through that, we were not living together. So you had your space, I had mine.
And it was during COVID, during the pandemic.
Yeah, it was later stages of COVID. But I noticed a really interesting shift in our dynamic where, I didn't know that you were sleeping on the floor for the longest time, because why would I? I'm not watching you sleep. And I remember I'd come over to your house one day, and maybe you hadn't picked up your bed from the floor. Like, the remnants remained. And I was like, what's this? What's happening here? And I could tell.
My little Japanese futon mattress.
Yes. I could tell you didn't really want to tell me because you knew. And, you know, of course, I got it out of you. And the dynamic that switched was, I felt like I had to attempt to parent you. You can't do that. You can't sleep on the floor. Don't you know how bad that is for you? You know better than anyone how important sleep is for your health and mental wellness and all of that. You're getting older. What about your back? What about your bones? What about your body? All of this stuff. I really did feel like, for the first time, like, wow, this must be what it's like to be a parent. But in the same time, you know, you came back to me like I come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it. This is what I want to do. And there was a lot of tension, because I felt like I knew what was best for you.
Right.
And you were not going to hear it. And I did have to let go of that. I'm like, you know what? If you're going to sleep on the floor and get 2 hours of sleep and not get good sleep or restful sleep and deal with that, or, you know, get a kink in your neck, like, you're going to have to deal with those consequences. I can't shield or protect you from that. But it was hard to let it go.
And that's freedom. That's what I talk about, freedom, letting it go.
Yeah, the freedom is letting it go and knowing what you can control and what you can't control. And you've said this to me my whole life, well, for as long as I can remember, that we can't control anything in life. We want to, obviously. There's so much we wish we could control. There's so much I wish I can control in life right now, in this present moment, and what's happening in the world and in our lives and in our country. But it's not a good use of my time to try and control things that I can't control. The power lies in that we can control one thing, and that's our responses and our reactions to what's happening around us. And being strategic about it and being mindful about it and aware of how we speak, how we act, how we react, and being a part of, like, the ripple effect of that, and not adding it to whatever problem that's out there that we want to change. And that's been a huge game changer for me. And I think I repeat that from you so often in my life. I've written it in my book a lot.
Yeah.
That's, you know, coming soon, because that was probably one of the most profound things that you've taught me, as well as the inherent difficulty and difficultness of life, which you and I have debated for a long, long time
because
of
your
favorite
quote. I'm glad you're going here.
You getting out of treatment in
1984? 1984.
You got out of treatment in 1984, learning about meditation, mindfulness, yoga for the first time. And that's truly incredible because when, I mean, I was not alive in 1984, but I know it was like growing up in the 80s, 90s, that was not as popular at all. No one talked about that until, you know, more recently. And so coming out of treatment, reading the book, The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck, and having that be kind of, and I even think I have a newer copy of it, but there's a road on the cover, right? Mm-hmm. Anyways,
yeah,
it's just so poignant
yeah.
that is like the start of your journey and mm-hmm. it's The Road Less Traveled and mm-hmm. it's this, all of it. It's very, not ironic, but
poignant.
Yeah, poignant.
Yeah.
The quote that started the book that changed everything for you.
Well, I think it is the quote that started, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but I also want to say I walked into your bedroom one day. I think you were, I don't know, high school or maybe college. You'd come home for a break from college or whatever, but I walked into your bedroom and somehow you were experiencing some difficulties. And I said, Michelle, life is difficult, because I'm always quoting that in some version of it. And so it the first paragraph of the book, The Road Less Traveled, is life is difficult. This is a great truth. And then he goes on to say, basically, the greatest truth. And then he goes on to say that when you realize that life is difficult, when you truly understand that life is difficult, it transcends the idea that life is difficult because it no longer matters. Now, I paraphrase that and you can all go look it up because it's such a, I have this quote written.
Yeah.
I probably say it to myself whenever, especially I'm going through a difficult time. Wait a minute, Barb, life is difficult. And the idea of transcending the truth that life is difficult into a place of where it no longer matters that life is difficult is the power. And this is what I live my life by, because that's what you were just saying. Life is difficult because we are all going to suffer. But what he's trying to say is life is difficult because it is difficult. The external world we can't control, and we are all going to have some form of suffering to varying degrees throughout our entire life. But when we can transcend that truth that it's difficult and not think that we can control it, it no longer matters that it's difficult, because then we have the power to make choices and take actions and take a look and really feel the feelings that we're having in this moment of why we're suffering or why we're feeling like life is difficult, so that we can actually relieve our own suffering, or we can actually relieve the difficulty or make the choices and take the steps forward to move out of the difficulty, because everything changes.
I love
that. Nothing stays the same. If we just really believe this, we have to believe it with our whole being, that is a great truth.
Another great truth. I love that, because I battled you with this
big time
truth for a while. I was, you know, early in my personal development healing journey, I was like heavily leaning on, if I can heal, life will be easy. Again, I was young, a little more naive, fine. And you're like, Michelle, you know, you'll see. Just, you want to believe that? Great. I know this to be true. This is a quote that has, you know, influenced me. And of course, as I went down my own road and realizing that, no, this is the truth. And I think the power of that quote is the acceptance of it. If you can accept what it is that's true, then you can transcend it. If you're going to resist it and battle it, you're going to be creating more suffering and hardship for yourself rather than just being in the acceptance of what is. And that to me has been the game changer, because now it's like, I don't expect challenge, but I know that it's going to be out there. I know that it's not always going to be smooth sailing. I know that the seas are going to be choppy and rocky sometimes. And I mean, we're living in really challenging, difficult times. And so I don't waste my time and energy saying, oh, why is it so hard? It's no, okay, yeah, this is life. What do I need to do about it? And it's almost like that in and of itself is just an energy saver, a time saver. Like, I don't have to worry about doing all of that. I can instead focus on the problem solving, the solutions, and what I can do about it. And if nothing else, that's been everything.
It is, because you know what? It's not that you're not going to suffer. I think I want to make this clear. And it's not that you're not going to when I say you, I mean me, all of us. It's not that we're not going to suffer. It's not that we're not going to, just because I've been on a journey for 40 plus years of meditation, mindfulness, self-care, all the things, it doesn't mean that I won't get stuck for a week at a time, maybe, in my own suffering, or, oh, why did this happen? 2024 was so bad. You know, it doesn't mean that that's not going to happen. It just means that the benchmark for me, or the awakening for me, has been that I come to a place of, oh, Barb, you're causing your own suffering here. Yeah. Wake up, girlfriend, here. Come on, you're doing it. And I'm kind of, I talk to myself. Get it together, sister. You know that I talk to myself all the time. So it's not that we're ever going to be perfect and we're not ever going to do this again. It means that I shorten the recovery time. That's what I also talk about a lot. Like, yeah. I can be in a suffering place, or I can be in a sad place, or I can feel my emotions of fear or uncertainty or the unknown, which is the greatest thing I think that causes many of us in the world today to have that fear, is the unknown. We don't know. The uncertainty seems like out of control.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that I won't feel all of those things and that the length of time might not be there, but it gets shortened. And I don't live there. I don't actually live there, because I know after a period of time, wait a minute, what's an action you can take right now, Barb? What can you do to relieve your own suffering of the mental chatter that's telling you this sucks?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the, I think it's the greatest gift that you and I can give in this podcast, in the work that we do, in the workshops, all the talks, the book that you've just written that's coming out soon. For me, it's the greatest gift that I can give, that you're not going to become some superhuman where you don't feel these things anymore. You're going to become a superhuman that actually gets it, like at a deep level. Okay, I'm causing this to happen for myself. Now, can I take a pause here, or can I take like a little break, or take a breath and figure out what is one step, what one tiny baby step that I can take to move me out of this place of uncertainty and fear?
Yeah. I love that, Mom. And I think that is the whole point of the show, is to work through the difficulties of life together, to dissect the complexities of life together, to, you know, pick it apart and see what works and get through it all together. And I've loved this conversation. I loved talking about the evolution of us, as weird as that might be to say, and just really being aware of life and how it unfolds, and being it together with you and all of our listeners and watchers now. It's really fun, and I'm really grateful for it, and I'm grateful for you.
Oh, I'm grateful for you.
I'll just
leave it with, I love you too. Yeah. I'll leave it with one quote that I think is...
Give us a quote to close it out.
It's a quote, but I don't have the exact quote, which we'll share another time, but I have the feeling that this quote has done for me.
Yeah.
And in alignment with what I was just saying earlier, that whenever we're feeling great pain or suffering or feeling so out of control, if you are able to take a pause for a moment, I have always recognized that underneath all of that, almost going to choke me up a little bit, underneath all of that is fear. Mm. And so me not being able to tell you what to do, or not being able to get you to change, or see my, it's always fear. The fear of, oh my gosh, you know, things are not going to work out, or she's going to be in a bad place. And we feel that way for ourselves too. So underneath the pain and the suffering is usually fear. I think 99% of the time is fear. So
tapping into the fear and knowing that, you know, it's okay to be afraid.
Yeah, and it kind of equalizes it. Wait, the anger I'm feeling or the frustration is not real anger that I have to act on. It's real, like, what am I afraid of right now, Barb? So
I love you.
Thank you,
sweetie. I always love when you wrap things up nicely with a bow, with feelings, quotes, insights, takeaways. You're a good one, Mom. Love you.
I love you.
Thanks for joining us on this journey. We're so glad you're here with us. Life's full of unexpected twists, and we're all in it together. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe to Life Happens wherever you listen.
And maybe share this with a friend who could use a reminder that we're all just figuring it out one step at a time. Drop your questions in the comments. We'd love to hear from you and might just dive into them in a future episode.
And if you want a little extra love and joy, check out my Substack, Love Notes for Michelle. It's a safe space where we're all learning and growing together.
Until next time, keep embracing the chaos, keep learning through the mess, and most importantly, keep riding the waves of life. See you next week, friends.